I'm Kathy McCormick, Director of Faith Formation and Evangelization. A lot of you guys know me. For those who don't, I help Monsignor do manage all the people who do all the ministries and stuff like that. So it is an honor to be here. I had the privilege of writing over the summer, spent time with Isaiah in the kingdom of Judah and Israel with all the Assyrians and the Babylonians who, you know, wiped all the Israelites out. So we're going to learn a lot about that. And one of the things that I learned was we really needed to get the history of what was going on in the time of Israel so that we can understand what Isaiah's message was and is for us today. So the introduction that I'm going to give you, most of that, or actually more of it, the introduction is in your books. So I'm just going to touch on some things that I think are the most important and get things rolling with that. The other thing is, usually after a commentary, we'll do a meditation song. I'm going to skip that because of time. One of the things we want to do is have a little more time in your small groups, and we're already running late. Usually we start commentaries around 10 o'clock. We'll start ringing the bell around 9:45, but when we're trying to get everyone registered, it kind of pushes us a little bit late. So, ready?
Ready.
Ready, okay. So, let's first talk about the role of a prophet. The first of God's holy prophets was Abraham, and the last of the holy Old Testament prophets was actually John the Baptist, whose mission was to announce the coming of the Messiah, who is God's supreme prophet, Jesus Christ. Some prophets were counselors to Israel's kings, but other prophets, like Isaiah, were sent to the covenant people and to foreign nations to deliver God's warnings of coming judgment and their failures to live in obedience with the laws of the covenant with Yahweh, or for sins against humanity in the case of the Gentile nations. When nations failed to respond to their warnings, these prophets acted as God's prosecuting attorneys, calling down God's wrath against sinful and unrepentant nations. So let's look at, that's just kind of what their different roles of the prophets. And so Isaiah was someone who would come bringing judgment, God's word of judgment, but also there's always going to be repentance and opportunities to repent. Historical perspective of the book of Isaiah is a very important thing to focus on. To start off on the right foot, we need to put Isaiah in place of history, and there are four major historical periods in Israel's history surrounding the book of Isaiah. The first period includes the era of the kings of Israel and Judah from the 11th century to the 9th century. So we're talking about centuries here. The second period includes the era of the Assyrian domination, which took place in the 8th century when Assyria conquered the northern kingdom of Israel in 721 BC, sending the inhabitants to exile. The third period includes the Babylonian crisis that took place from the 7th century to the early part of the 6th century before Christ, when Babylon invaded Judah and led many of its inhabitants into exile. And then the fourth period includes the era from the late 6th century to the middle of the 5th century before Christ, when Cyrus of Persia conquered the Babylonians and allowed the Israelites to return home to Judah. So that's a lot of time that's covered in the book of Isaiah. So what happened to the Israelite kingdom that David reigned? Remember King David, good guy, fell off the wagon a little bit and sinned there for, you know. But he ended up okay. And he had a son named Solomon. And Solomon took over and built the temple and was a wise king. But upon Solomon's death, Rehoboam, Solomon's son, became king. The 10 northern tribes of Israel had economic complaints, and Rehoboam didn't deal with them well. And so those 10 tribes of Israel in the northern areas split off, creating the kingdom of Israel, leaving the two tribes, Benjamin and Judah, to make up the kingdom of Judah. This all happened around the 10th century, around the year 930 BC. The Kingdom of Israel, with Samaria as its capital, lasted from about 208 years, from 930 to 722 BC, until the Assyrians conquered the Kingdom of Israel and exiled those inhabitants. The Kingdom of Judah, with Jerusalem as its center, lasted a little longer, 343 years during this split time, until the Babylonians conquered the Kingdom of Judah and sent those inhabitants into exile. The Babylonian exile lasted for 70 years until Cyrus of Persia conquered the Babylonian Empire, and Cyrus the Great, king of Persia, was the monarch under whom the Babylonian captivity ended. In the first year of Cyrus's reign, he was prompted by God to decree that the Temple of Jerusalem should be rebuilt, and that those who cared could go and rebuild it. He even sent back with the Israelites the sacred vessels, which had been taken from the first temple, and a considerable sum of money to which buy building materials. So Cyrus of Persia, pretty good guy. Isaiah himself, let's look at Isaiah. He was born around 765 BC and received his call from the Lord at the death of King Uzziah around 742. His call came during the time of the divided kingdom. And he was active during the time of the Assyrians when they conquered the northern kingdom of Israel and sent those inhabitants into exile. Isaiah's ministry continued for over 40 years. Isaiah was married to the prophetess, who's not named in the book of Isaiah, and he was the father of at least two sons. His ministry to the Davidic kings of the southern kingdom of Judah covered from the years of the end of reign Uzziah from 781, 740, and then Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. So about 40 years of, and those were the kings of Judah that he advised. His ministry may have ended in the early years of the reign of Hezekiah's wicked son Manasseh, who succeeded his father in 687 BC. According to Jewish tradition, it is during the reign of this king Manasseh of Judah that Isaiah was martyred by supposedly being sawn in half. So there are some key historical ministry, military moments during the time of Isaiah too. And the reason we put him in history is because what was going on back then says something to what is going on today. The historical military moments during Isaiah's prophetic tenure, first one was in 735 to 733. Syria joined forces with the Kingdom of Israel, the northern kingdom, to form an alliance against the Assyrians. King Ahaz of Judea did not want to join. So Syria and Israel tried to depose King Ahaz. This was when Isaiah spoke to King Ahaz in chapter 7:14. Ahaz appealed to the Assyrians for help. In 733 BC, Samaria, the capital of the Kingdom of Israel, was forced to submit. So Ahaz remained king of Judah, and the city center of the Kingdom of Israel was subject to Assyria. So even within the Israelites, they're fighting each other. Second moment of significance came around 10 years after this, when the Kingdom of Israel rebelled against Assyria. This took place in 722, and subsequently, whatever was left of Samaria was destroyed, and the inhabitants were put into exile, and foreign settlers were brought in. The Kingdom of Israel ceased to exist. And this event may have been prophesied in Isaiah 28, 1 through 4. The third event took place in 713. Judah was in danger when the Philistine city of Ashdod went up against the Assyrians. And Isaiah 20, chapter 20, sheds light on this event. And then finally in 701 BC, Hezekiah of Judah provoked Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and most of the kingdom of Judea was destroyed. But Jerusalem remained standing. Hezekiah remained on the throne. And this is spoken about in Isaiah 36 and 38, where the prophet speaks of this event and the fall of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria. Isaiah himself was an educated man, politically savvy, and had access to the king. He was certainly concerned about the events of the day, and he advocated a simple way of seeking peace instead of power. And that is permeated through the whole book of Isaiah, to seek peace, help the poor, not seek power. In the book of Isaiah, we're going to break it down into three sections. Scripture scholars believe that Isaiah authored the first 39 books of chapters of the book. The author of 40 to 45 is an author that scholars refer to as Deutero-Isaiah, who wrote these chapters at the end of the Babylonian exile. The third Isaiah, chapters 56 through 66, is believed to have been written by Isaiah's disciples, but are referred to as Treato Isaiah, or Third Isaiah. And these chapters take place after the Jews return from the Babylonian exile and are trying to build Jerusalem back up. So, three authors of Isaiah. Not one guy who lasted 500,000 years or whatever it is. Three people, three sections, three time periods in the history of Israel, which is why it's important to look at the history of when these scriptures were written and by who. The main themes of Isaiah are five: the sovereignty of God. The concept of the sovereignty of God appears throughout the book. God is the sovereign Lord of the universe over every nation and people on the face of the earth. He is actively at work in the events of the world, guiding all human history in accordance with his divine plan. Number two is the preservation of the faithful remnant of the covenant people. The remnant are the covenant people who are looking to God's direction in obedience to his divine will working through them. They return to the Lord and experience the fullness of his salvation when others do not. The faithful remnant is a theme that began in Genesis in the salvation of Noah's family, and is a theme that is repeated throughout the books of the Old Testament and in the New Testament. The third theme is the servant of God. The servant bows in complete submission of his master's will. Isaiah uses the term to describe God's covenant people as a group, but more often as individuals who submit and serve God faithfully. Number four theme, the Holy One of Israel. This is Isaiah's favorite way of referring to God. Isaiah uses the title for God in both judgmental and redemptive contexts. He writes about the Holy One of Israel, who has experienced the rejection of his people who have resisted his sovereignty. It is the Holy One of Israel who will judge the nations who oppose him. But it is the Holy One of Israel who will act as Israel's savior and redeemer by delivering his people from exile to establish his kingdom. And the fifth theme is the Messiah. Kings, prophets, and priests all experience God's anointing and being set apart for service. In Isaiah 45:1, King Cyrus of Persia is called God's Messiah, the man anointed to bring back God's exiled people to the promised land. And in Isaiah 61:1, there is the promise that God will anoint a specially chosen servant to bring about his earthly and heavenly kingdoms. The concept of messiahship lies beneath many of the prophetic utterances of the prophet and is recognized by the churches being fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So, under the terms and conditions of the Sinai Covenant, Israel promised loyalty to Yahweh as their sovereign king and divine father and to obey all his laws. We hear this in Exodus. In return, Yahweh promised and the blessings that would make Israel a fruitful and great nation. So that happened in Exodus. Fast forward 700 years from the Sinai covenant to a time of Isaiah, and the people of God continue to break the covenant. Isaiah does his part to try to bring the people back, people of God back to God. And I would say 1,300 years later, we still struggle to turn away from sin and be faithful to God. My prayer is that this study of Isaiah will help us turn away from the things that keep us from God and help us to focus on the one true Messiah, Jesus Christ. So, having said that, if y'all dozed off during that time. Again, it's written all in there. There's actually some more information in that introduction in your book, if you want to peruse that. But hopefully that gives kind of an overview of the fact that we're talking about a lot of years, a lot of events, and a couple of different authors of this book. It's a very exciting book. It was an interesting summer to spend my summer with Isaiah. I'm glad I got the chance to do it. And I'm glad you all will have the chance to spend time this whole year studying together. And my hope and prayer truly is that we all grow closer to the Lord through his word. So God bless you. Usually at this point, I would play a song, but because I want you to have as much time in your small groups as possible, and we got to find where those small groups go, we're going to go ahead and do that. Now, Margaret's going to come up and dismiss everyone because we do have a few changes. But thank you for listening.